Despite all our efforts, the demigods do not accept it. Text 27. Rajan havim shadushtani tradhaya saditani te chandamshi ayata yamani yojitani tita pratahai. A king, we know that the paraphernalia to perform the sacrifice is well collected by you with great faith and care and is not polluted. Our chanting of the Vedic hymns is also not deficient in any way, for all the brahmanas and priests present here are expert and are executing the performances properly. Therefore, it is the practice of the brahmanas conversant with the science to pronounce a Vedic mantra in the right accent. combination of the mantra and Sanskrit words must be chanted with the right pronunciation. Otherwise it will not be successful. In this age, the Brahmanas are neither well-versed in the Sanskrit language nor very pure in practical life. But by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can attain the highest benefit of sacrificial performances. Even if the Hare Krishna mantra is not chanted properly, it still has so much potency that the chanter gains the effect. Okay, phones on silent, please. Om Malakanati Vidandasya Yalanjana Sadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Vidaye Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Avitam Jena Udave Svayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Svavadam Tikam Bhuktam Karo Divachanam Panurvam Gayate Kirin Yatri Vatamaham Vande
Thank you.
I have to have my breakfast. Let's see how we go. All that jumping up and down. Burn off a lot of glucose, so I don't know whether if I fall over, then you know that I should have had something to eat. So, there's a word, adhika, which means having the right or having the power or having the qualifications to perform an action. if you don't have the right qualifications, then just like, for example, if you want to enter the university, you have to have a matriculation, or, well, they used to call it matriculation. You have to have a certificate that says that you're qualified to enter the university. And there's a good reason for that, because with the right qualifications, then you can take advantage. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. See, it says there, the thirst crusher. Sugar's what I need, not, but anyway. So, with the right qualifications, if you enter into the institution or into the university, then you can take advantage of the facility that's given to you. Otherwise, if you're not qualified, you won't be able to take advantage. So that's why they have a level of achievement. So similarly here, in order to perform a yajna or a sacrifice, the yajaman, the institutor of the sacrifice, the person who is the person for whom the sacrifice is being performed. And the Ritvik, or the here, where did I read that? We were just reading that, weren't we?
Previous verse.
Was it the previous verse?
26.
26. Tambu Juvish Yajamanam. Atar, see in Atar, this Ritvijaha. See that last word on the second line? Yajamana, that's the person who initiates the sacrifice. And then Atar Ritvijaha. We know that as the Ritvik. That's the person who actually goes and performs the sacrifice on behalf of the Yajamana. The Yajamana is the sponsor. The Ritvik is the person who puts all of the wood in the fire and everything. There's somebody. There's a few others too. Advayur and a couple of other people. You know, like the very experienced brahmanas, the senior brahmanas, they would observe the performance of the sacrifice. Observe it, and they were expert in the rules and regulations of the yajna. See, it has to be done at the right time, and the mantras have to be performed in a proper sequence with the right accent. Here it's mentioned here in the purport of 27. Ayata yamani yojitani drita bratahai chandamsi. Chandamsi ayata yamani yojitani drita bratahai. So that means chandamsi is the mantras, and ayata yamani, not deficient. So if there was a deficiency, then the senior brahmanas, they're acting like a, you know, in a football game, you have an umpire and he blows the whistle if they do something wrong. Give the other side a free kick. So if the mantras were not being chanted properly, or there was some mistake, then they would stop the yajna and they would correct it, and then they would start again based on the input from the the senior brahmanas. It's a very technical affair, right? Yojitani, properly done. Dritta Bratahai, by qualified brahmanas. So, the sacrifice was being performed, but the demigods weren't accepting the offering. And as it turns out, the king, Anga, had performed impious activities in his previous life. And so because of that disqualification, then as the Yajamana, his sacrifice wasn't being effective. We don't have to worry about that. I'm sure that all of our jumping up and down would not be, you know, they'd be blowing the whistle. Hey, what is this rough and tumble? It looks like a football match. But there is no disqualification for chanting Hare Krishna. This is the great benefit of the sacrifice of the Mahamantra. In the previous ages, in the performance of yajna, then there were strict rules and regulations. And the performance of the sacrifice had to be qualified. The initiator, the practitioner, everybody, and yagya is essential. That it's an essential feature of human life. And human life means understanding what the purpose of existence is. That the purpose of life is to understand the self, who we are, from the spiritual perspective and also from the material perspective. There needs to be a problem. This is called self-realization. And so there needs to be material knowledge. We need to know our particular propensities, what our qualifications are in terms of action, activities that we perform. We need to know what our ashram is in order to be peaceful. This vana ashram. In other words, we need to know what our occupation is from the material perspective. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And also, we should know what our ashram is. Different stages of life will be in a different ashram. And we are meant to perform the duties of those occupations and those ashrams in order to be peaceful in life, in order to make material progress, but more importantly, to take advantage of the human form of life and use it not just for sense gratification, but to use it for spiritual advancement. In this day and age, not many people appreciate this, the finer and the essential elements of the purpose of life. People don't understand, don't appreciate. And then they can't work out why we're having, why are we depressed, why are people committing suicide, why are so many problems. It's because we know that just a pursuit of material possessions doesn't make us happy. Well, we should have enough to keep ourselves healthy. Bhagavatam says we can work to keep ourselves healthy, but we don't need to work more than that. And the real essence of, or the real purpose of existence is to not just know what our vana and ashram are. That's pious, or it's dharma, it's religious. But the purpose of religion is not to get material benefits. The purpose of religion is to understand our identity. The purpose of religion is to understand the self, the transcendent self, that we're not the body. This is one of the reasons for Krishna's appearance, is to help us, paritranaya sarunam, to protect the devotees, because the devotees have a proper understanding of what the purpose of life is. And the purpose of life is not to make money. Well, hang on a second. Let's not get... The purpose of life is to make money, right? But that's not the only purpose of life. One lady rang up the other day and she said, when are you celebrating till Mustami? Is it on Sunday? I said, no, it's on Monday. She said, oh, why don't you have it on Sunday? I said, we want to worship, we're worshipping God, not money. You're worshipping money, not God. So, you know, give up one day of your life and don't go to work. Right? And come and worship Krishna on his birthday. Right? You know what she said? You're right. You're right. So that's why devotees are so important people. The most important people, actually. Because they recognize the most important person. That's Krishna. They understand why Krishna appeared. And why you don't do anything on, you don't, you worship Krishna on that day because Krishna tells us. What is it? Asochastva, what is it? You are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Atachet famma. No, that's another verse. Dehino smen yata dehe komanam jovana. You're not the body. Right? You're not the body. Actually, we have a funny philosophy when you think about it. We say, you're not the body, but you are the body. Right? We're not the body, but we are the body. Well, this is achitya bheda abheda tattva. We're both. We're not the body, but we also are the body. And we need the body. We're very fortunate to have this human form of life. Without the human form of life, we wouldn't be able to prosecute the real purpose of existence, which is to worship Krishna on his birthday. Okay. In appreciation of what Krishna gives to everyone. He gives us our material facility, which we can enjoy. We've got the human form of life. And so that gives us a great opportunity for enjoyment. But the real enjoyment, the actual enjoyment is to enjoy on the spiritual platform and realize one's identity, one's eternal self. We are the body, but that's the material body is always changing. Right, this is our philosophy. And this is the basic philosophy that Krishna has given us in the Bhagavad Gita. For the moment, we are this body, but that's all just coming and going. Coming and going, coming and going. Whereas the eternal self, the Atma, or the Jivatma, is eternal. Sat Chit Ananda. This is our natural position. And we can see the potency of the Mahamantra. The potency of the Mahamantra uncovers or releases us from all of these coverings of material existence, of material identification. And then when our spiritual identity is manifested, what happens? Jumping up and down, shouting, laughing, right? Exuberance, enthusiasm, celebration, happy, really happy, right? There could be all hell breaking loose in your life. Right? But if you chant Hare Krishna, you get into the kirtan on Krishna's birthday, then what happens? You just forget about everything. Forget about all that stuff. Let's just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions here, even if you don't chant Hare Krishna properly, you get the benefit. Yeah? It's amazing. And in the previous verse, But that's it. In this age, the unimpractical yajna is Sankirtan yajna, or chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. Anybody here chanting 24 hours a day? Even as Ganga explained the other day, that our preaching, our service, it's an extension of our chanting. So when we're engaged in service, it's all preaching, all Sankirtan. That's why Prabhupada has very mercifully created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that all of our activities are an extension of chanting Hare Krishna, a broadcasting of the mantras. And the chanting of Hare Krishna, especially the Sankirtan Yajna, is so many things. It's glorification of Krishna. It's appreciation of Krishna. It's an experience of Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna. And it's a manifestation of spiritual satisfaction, spiritual experience, and spiritual, it's a declaration. It's very interesting when you walk down Burke Street in the mall with the Sankirtan party, and then people come walking up, they cannot stop themselves from smiling. Have you noticed that? We're chanting Hare Krishna, and then they're walking along. Then all of a sudden they hear, they see, and they just start smiling. Because it's a manifestation of spiritual activity, purely spiritual activity. None of the activities that we perform in ISKCON are at all material. None of them. Our motivation may not be right. Our motivation may be, our heads may be messed up. Not maybe, quite often are. But the activities that we perform, they're basically an extension of the nine items of devotional service. And Krishna appears to encourage us, paritranaya sadhunam, to perform these nine items of bhakti. And especially for us, the Krishna has appeared. Krishna vānam tvisha krishnam sangho pangastra parashadam yagyai sankitam pahir yujantihi sumedasaha. Krishna has appeared in the Kali Yuga to introduce the Sankirtan Yajna. Because through the performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, one can achieve the goal of Haribol, the real purpose of life. Will be materially successful. At the very least, we'll have something to eat. We'll have something to wear, and we'll have a roof over our heads. What more do you need? What more do you need? You don't need more than that to be satisfied. And in any case, whatever we gather and accumulate at the time of death, poof, it's all taken away anyway. No need to fear death. Or we should learn to live with it and expect it. And that everything we accumulate will be taken away. But Krishna has appeared in order to demonstrate, to teach the purpose of existence. The sadhya is the goal. And the goal is to... What's our goal? Here's a question. What's our goal? Bahu Janma Kari Yari Shravana Ketan Tabutana by Krishna Premadan. Our goal is to chant Hare Krishna to achieve Krishna Prema. We're not interested in just realizing that we're not the body, right? That's just the beginning. We want to go to Krishna Prema. That's the real existence. And that's Krishna's purpose, Dharma Stapaya, to establish religious principles, to protect the devotees, Paritranaya Sarinam, Vinashaya Tatushpitam, to kill the demons. And so in Krishna's pastimes, we see the battle of Kurukshetra. Interesting. Even the battle of Kurukshetra ended up fulfilling all of the predictions that Arjuna made in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't that interesting? Everything that Arjuna said would happen, happened. Just like, what's going on here? It was all part of Krishna's plan. Because Kali Yuga was coming. This is to facilitate our desires. People are becoming less qualified, less intelligent. In this age, the brahmanas are neither well-versed in the Sanskrit language nor very pure in practical life. These are the topmost people. The brahmanas are the topmost. But in the Kali Yuga, they're not qualified. So what about the rest of us? Not qualified. So Krishna knew. We see that in Vyasadeva's pastimes. Vyasadeva knew that the Kali Yuga was approaching, and so therefore he got the Vedas broken up into four. Vedavyas. For the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, the methodology of Dushkrita, Vinashaya Dushkritam, the methodology of killing the demons is to get them to chant Hare Krishna. Very simple process. And by getting them to chant Hare Krishna, then their demonic qualities are cleansed, dissolved. One becomes purified. And so, unlike in the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna's methodology for getting rid of the demons was chopping heads. In the Kali Yuga, that process of destroying the demons is Harinam Sankirtan, right? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's the mention. That's how we kill the demons. And there are demons. In fact, I've discovered that the demons are us. I thought I was a great devotee when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, one of the most sincere. And I discovered a few things about myself. Still discovering things that scare me. Yeah? But what's the methodology? The methodology is chanting Hare Krishna. Even though we're disqualified, this is the thing. Previous ages you had to be qualified to get the advantage of the yajna, to get the benefits. In this day and age, everybody, Kale Doshu Nidhe Raja, this is Kali Yuga, is an ocean of faults. There is nothing right in Kali Yuga. Except when we're in the association of the devotees and we're performing devotional service. The nine items of bhakti, which it basically underpins as a foundation of everything that we do. And you know, part of that bhakti is on the days of, on the appearance days of Lord Vishnu and Krishna. We put aside those days just to focus our activities purely on service. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the tithis, the sacred occasion of the appearance of the Lord is an impetus for bhakti. It's a driver, it feeds or it fuels the process of bhakti. We know the purpose of life is to realize ourselves, to get that Krishna prema, which is the result of pure bhakti. And we're taught the process, the sadhana. The sadhana is the means by which we get to the sadhya, the goal. And the celebration of Krishna's birthday is part of that process. And the sadhaka is the person who engages in that sadhana. They know the purpose of life. They know how to get to the goal of existence. So on days like Jamashtami, especially Jamashtami, then we make a dridavrata, right? And it's interesting here, dridavratai is the qualification. Chandamsi ayatayamani. So the prayers are chanted without fault, right? Yojitani dhritabratai. That dhritabratai is a description of the brahmanas. One who's taken a firm vow. A firm vow. That's what we have to do. Firm vow on, and simple things like don't eat on Janmashtami. No, I'm okay. That's, after all that jumping up and down in the keto, it's feeling a little wonky. You know what wonky means? Now I'm feeling okay. My blood pressure's probably gone down and my heartbeat's gone down too. So a bit more peaceful. So, simple things. It's just a simple thing. On Janmashtami we fast all day. Why is that? Why do we fast all day? Because we're going to feel hungry at some point. Right? Anybody feeling hungry now? I've got some apples here. Would you like some? But we know. We think, it's an impetus to remember Krishna. This is an interesting thing. So not eating is a simple thing. Right? But when we get hungry, then we remember Krishna. So we turn the fire of digestion, which is also Krishna, actually. Right? We turn that for a beneficial purpose and we remember Krishna by performing austerities. Of course, we're also looking forward to midnight. But these are very simple. They're actually not very difficult things. But they have great potency. The practice of bhakti, even for the disqualified, because there's no disqualification, is most powerful. And of course it's the fuel or the fuel that drives the engine is the Maha Mantra. And of course that's the sacrifice. In the previous ages the performance of sacrifice had to be done by very qualified persons. Even the Yajama Here we see Maharaj Anga had been sinful in his previous life, and so he couldn't get the demigods to come because they, for some reason, We can appreciate Srila Prabhupada's mercy in this regard. We get the benefits of worshipping all of the demigods by worshipping our spiritual master, because the spiritual master is the sum total of all of the demigods. So when the spiritual master comes, it's as good as all of the demigods coming. So when we worship him and please Srila Prabhupada, then automatically all of the demigods are satisfied. So we can appreciate the great mercy of such a saintly person as Srila Prabhupada, who came to save all of the unqualified people. In Kali Yuga, you know, everybody's unqualified. So, qualified or unqualified, mostly unqualified, on a day like today, we get the opportunity to make spiritual advancement easily by the mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of the previous acharyas, and of course, as we sang this morning, by the mercy of Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we get Srila Prabhupada. We get the opportunity to associate with the devotees. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of Krishna, we get the spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we get Krishna. So we have a very unique festival with Janmashtami. So we've got Krishna, but then just to remind us how we got Krishna, we get Prabhupada. Isn't that interesting? You know, that, I mean, that is just, you know, that's mind-blowing, isn't it, when you think about it. Prabhupada was born the day after Janmashtami. I mean, he could have been born on Janmashtami, not appropriate, obviously. So the day after. And of course, you know, we fast all day, have a big feast, and we have to fast again for another half a day. You know, people ask me, what do you do on Janmashtami? I tell them, we fast all day. They go, ooh, okay. And then we fast another day. They go, ooh. Again, to remind us of our good fortune, we get the opportunity to realize our spiritual identity, and we get an opportunity to experience Krishna Prema, which is rarely achieved. Sudulabha. Atma Bhakto. What's that verse? Advaita Machuta Manadira Nanta Rupam. Adyam Purana Purano Purusho Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. So, by the mercy of the devotee, we, to Prabhupada, we have this whole process of bhakti, and especially the chanting of Hare Krishna, based on that. And you know, hearing, associating with the devotees, hearing or chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, residing in a sacred place. Because we make this Albert Park is not a sacred place. I don't know if you've noticed. But for us it's sacred. Where would you prefer to live? Tarnit or Albert Park? How many people living in Tarnit? But what I notice is my friends, you know, they buy a house in Tarnit. They get the homeowners, you know, $10,000 or whatever it is to buy the house. Then after a year, they rent it out And they come and live in Albert Park in a park. So, Albert Park has become a sacred place. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada came here, actually. Prabhupada brought Radha Balaba. He went on Ratha Yatra with Lord Jagannath. He installed Gaumita. So, by the association of a devotee, Sadhu Sangha, came then Sankirtan. And Murti Seva, well, Sankirtan and the Bhagavatam. In the association of the devotees, we perform the Bhagavat Marga, which is chanting Hare Krishna and preaching, studying the Bhagavatam, studying the Bhagavad Gita, learning the philosophy, and then putting the philosophy into practice. Because, you know, philosophy, Prabhupada says, precept, teaching is good. Precept is good. But better, Prabhupada says, is doing it. Not just talking about it, but actually doing it. Because our action with precept gives an example of how to put the principles of bhakti into practice. You know, people, I remember when I wanted to be a yogi, but I couldn't find anybody who could tell me how to do it. I had this idea of going to the Himalayas and finding a place to meditate. And that didn't make sense to me. How was I going to do that? Read a lot of yoga, books on yoga, and then what? But when I met the devotees, they said, here's what you do. You chant Hare Krishna. Ooh, okay, that's good. There's meditation, right? Then they said, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And I thought, wow, that's it. I might not be able to do it, but I knew this is serious. This is serious. I knew that I could not avoid or ignore the chanting of Hare Krishna and the association of the devotees. I knew I couldn't ignore it. In fact, when my wife and I were deciding whether we would leave Adelaide and come and live in Melbourne, we were discussing what we should do. And we had realised this opportunity only comes rarely in life. And, you know, if you miss this bus, you might not get another opportunity to get on the bus. That's how I was thinking. Maybe we would have got another opportunity. But activity, action, with precept, acting on those precepts. So the devotees told me, here's how you perform bhakti. Chant Hare Krishna. Worship the deity. Right, so we have the philosophy, but then we put it into practice. And we study the philosophy, we study the Bhagavatam, we study the Bhagavad Gita. Then nectar of devotion. Prabhupada recommends nectar of devotion. Because the nectar of devotion, especially, it teaches us in the beginning what the process, what sadhana is, what the sadhana is, what the practice is. And the practice revolves very much around worshipping the deity. Whether in the temple or at home, we have the Bhagavat Marga, then we have the Pancharatrika Marga, the rules and regulations of the Brahmanas that worship the deities. So these are the, and that all then creates a sacred space, as we experience. as people experience, when they walk in the front door of the temple and they feel the potency of the bhakti that's been performed here for 40 years plus now, that has a cumulative effect, right? So that when people walk in the front gate, then they know, this is serious. Like I was talking to one priest some years ago when I was doing a lot of interfaith work, and an Anglican priest was a friend of mine, and he came to the temple, and he said to me, he said, that was a really good lunch. He said, that's my first vegetarian meal. But then he said, I get a feeling about this place. It's like visiting the temples in Southeast Asia. There's this feeling of sanctity that you don't get anywhere else. You don't get it in Birch Street or Swanson Street or in your office. Huh? You don't get that feel. But when we come into the temple, the performance of the bhakti permeates the whole atmosphere. Hare Krishna. So, we are taught the process of bhakti by Srila Prabhupada. We are introduced to Krishna by Prabhupada's mercy, and by Krishna's mercy we've got Srila Prabhupada. And so this is one of the reasons, many reasons, why we dedicate our whole, all of the activities on Janmashtami for the pleasure of Krishna, to show our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. So we have Vyasa Puja the day after, but also, you know, in appreciation of the gift, Prabhupada's gift, matchless gift. And of course, Krishna's gift to us is Srila Prabhupada, another matchless gift. Okay, it is now 10:30. Ooh. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any realizations you want to share?
Just comment. The Mandarin, that the people that speak Chinese, Mandarin speakers like that.
Give about this microphone so everybody can hear what he's saying.
Hare Krishna. I was living in China for the last 10 years, and many of our devotees, the Mandarin speaking, Chinese speaking, you're talking about pronunciation, mantras, and they can pronounce R, because R is a very important word in Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Imagine without R, what would we be saying? So they would be saying Hare Krishna. This is very different from Hare Krishna. So, like you were saying in the purport, that it doesn't matter if they're not Chinese clearly, and the language is not Sanskrit. It's a very sinful kind of language. But because of their sincerity, they're getting the benefit of Chinese Hare Krishna. Just wanted to say that.
Some of the devotees that I hear chanting Hare Krishna, not chanting Hare Krishna either. Even they could say, ah. But most people chanting, okay. And as you say, they get the benefit even if they're not.
Thank you, Prabhu. Here it is mentioned that without the correct pronunciation and without the proper behavior in personal life, Vedic yagyas do not bear fruit. But in contrast, chanting Hare Krishna, even if the Hare Krishna mantra is not chanted properly, it still has so much potency that the chanter gains the effect.
Yeah.
Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ye shanto antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridha vrata. Those who have acted piously in their previous life and in this life, and whose sinful reactions or sinful actions have been completely eradicated, they are free of delusion, engage in my devotional service with determination. So then the question is, how do we understand, even if the Hare Krishna mantra is not chanted properly, what does that mean, not chanted properly? Is it only the pronunciation? Is it the behavior in context to what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita? What is the correct understanding? Thank you.
It must be in relationship to pronunciation, because the heart of the devotee is revealed in their spiritual advancement, even if they're not chanting properly. The fruit of the endeavor is manifest. It reveals itself. So, Krishna is gunagrahi. The devotees are gunagrahi, which means they accept the good. And adosha dashi, they don't see the fault. Right? And so, if there's a sincere effort in the chanting of Hare Krishna, even if... There's a sloka, I was looking at it yesterday, in reference to Haridas Pandit, who's a very magnanimous devotee. And Prabhupada quotes this verse, that everybody is a mixture of good and bad. Everybody. But because the devotees have a particular perspective, a particular vision, and Krishna also has this vision, that they'll accept the good in everybody. And, you know, we can't say we ignore the bad, because we don't actually, but we focus on the good, right? And like the example that I give very often in a cricket team, you don't get on the case of the fast bowler because he didn't hit a century. But if he can bat at all, that's considered good fortune. Right? So long as he can deliver the ball at 125 kilometres an hour and, you know, threaten the batsman of the other team, then we'll be saying, joy! You know, the fact that he can't bat, we don't care. And the same with the opening batsman, you know. If he can't bowl out people, we don't care. We look at the positive. But we also recognise the fact that they have limitations. We should know our own limitations, and we should, if we're working with others, we should appreciate the limitations of others only in as much as we know how to engage somebody positively, right? So we're looking for the positive, not that we ignore completely the negatives. There's some awareness, but we're looking at the positives, the focus is on the positives. And we see that with the Chinese devotees. They're chanting Hare Krishna, but they're getting benefit. They're making spiritual advancement. They're preaching. Right? So that underlines the positive influence of the Jagya, the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's powerful. And so, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I carry what they, what is it, like, preserve what they have, yeah. Carry what they lack, preserve what they have. Huh? So, we have to be practical in our dealings with ourselves and with others, being aware of where our strengths are, where we're not, where our weaknesses are, then play to the strengths. Okay, here are the kids. Very well, Rukmini. Make friends with the kids. You never know who's going to be your mum and dad in your next life. Serious business. Anything else?
Look up Maharaj, a book on proper pronunciation, and in that he explains
Sanskrit
proper pronunciation.
Yeah.
In that book he explains that we should show our sincerity by making effort to chant properly. That's how we show our sincerity.
Yes, yeah, that's a good point. Not that we shouldn't try to improve or to perfect our mantra chanting and be satisfied with sloppy Hare Krishna. Because pramada, api pramada, is also offensive. But the perfect chanting of the mantras, it was seriously an issue if you didn't chant the mantras correctly. The performance of the sacrifice would not be achieved or realized. But in the Kali Yuga, because of the disqualification of most individuals, the performance of bhakti, especially the performance of the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, the right mood, the right mentality is required, and then you'll get the benefit. Because what can happen is a person can chant all of the mantras correctly but be proud. Huh? Oh, I'm such a good mantra chanter. But that's not the qualification, actually. Because then you get quite carried away with, you know, like even here's an example. There was a devotee, sannyasi, in Mayapur who was living apart from the devotees, and he was chanting 64 rounds a day or something. You know, chanting a lot. And the devotees told Prabhupada, oh, this devotee, he's chanting under a, you know, little tree arrangement, little hut, and he's chanting so many rounds a day. Prabhupada just, okay, wasn't impressed. And, you know, but the devotees were kind of enamored. Oh, he's chanting so many rounds and he's living very austerely. But after a month or so, he wasn't there anymore. Went back to America. Stopped chanting at all. Sincerity of purpose and the proper application is more important in the Kali Yuga than you know, performing all of these rituals, effectively rituals, so underlying and people in Vrindavan respect the ISKCON devotees. Right? And, you know, we're not particularly polished in Vaishnava etiquettes and so forth. But they see us chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and they see it decade after decade. Right? And then when they see that dedication, even though it may not be perfect, all the mantras and etiquettes and so forth might not be purely followed by all of the ISKCON leaders, but because they see that dedication year after year after year after year, then they respect that. So it's the sincerity of purpose and the dedication. And the attempt, you know, we're trying to chant the mantras all properly. Actually, what happens is they say to me, you know more of the Bhagavad Gita than I do. You know more of the Bhagavad Gita than I do. Which is a great compliment. So sincerity, dedication, determination, dhrita vrata. In our case, that determination just to serve Srila Prabhupada is qualification enough to make spiritual advancement. It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, perfectly doing everything. Mind you, there are certain things that we should do, right, with perfection, like our deity worship, right? And keeping the temple clean. Certain things that we should do and attempt to do very perfectly. Alright, I think we should finish here. It is now 20 to 11. Gwandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna Mahatsubha Jamastami ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.